Calling to order the November EDA meeting. It is November 18th. Time is 6:37 p.m. Let's start with a roll call. I'll begin. Matt Dingy is here with the EDA.
Gary Dickstein.
Bob Bessel with the EDA.
And from town staff, we have Neil Pave. And from the public, we have Lisa Coggins. Before we begin, I just want to announce that Russ Askeloff has resigned from the EDA. So I just want to just quickly give him a moment of thanks and gratitude for his many years of contributions and service to the EDA. Miss him, certainly, but totally understand his desire to go on and do other things. So, Russ, thanks so much. And with that, let's start with any public comments, Lisa?
No, I'm just here to listen tonight.
Okay. Very good. So just jumping right into our discussion items, as we typically do, let's start with the Axe Factory. It looks like the court case, at least for now, has been swung in our favor again. It's been dismissed, or I don't know if that's the official word
to
use.
But it looks like to me. Yeah.
So his challenges to the last decision?
His challenges, request to get the judge to reverse his decision, which I think he did multiple times, has been, ignored, and yeah. The judge just simply dismissed the case,
the whole thing.
Which I think he may have submitted another request to re-argue that, which I don't know. It was very convoluted, the last couple document filings.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to figure out, but it looks like it was dismissed.
Yeah. I think he was just trying to layer on. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully that's the end of it, but I guess TBD.
Yes. Other Axe Factory things. I know we do not yet have the work order executed with the selected consultant to do the Brownfields redevelopment. That's in the CAO's office. They're reaching out to the State Department of Administrative Services for guidance how to finalize that paperwork. Project is also in the Office of the State Traffic Administration. There was a meeting last week with them, which the police chief sat in on. I'm a little bit concerned. I was able to read some of their preliminary comments. I know I'm a little bit biased, but I feel that not untypically, a lot of the ASTA review comments are, as they typically do, prioritize the throughput of vehicles, you know, looking to add an additional vehicle turn lane to maximize vehicle capacity. Historically, DOT recommendations that maximize vehicle throughput facilitate freer, faster flowing movement of vehicles, and speeding is our number one concern through that area. I'm also a bit concerned because they're looking to widen a little bit on 179 there before it hits Bridge Street. Some of that widening may actually encroach on some of the pedestrian streetscape improvements we put in, which I would be very upset if that actually were to occur. So those were just, again, preliminary comments. It's weird, like one of the comments was for an additional 5 feet of shoulder for bicycle traffic, which is a great comment. You normally want to see that, but right up against the bike trail, you might not need that, and I prefer to not widen the road to accommodate that if we don't have to, if we have a bike facility immediately adjacent to the roadway. So nothing's finalized yet. They're looking for updated survey information. They didn't have the most accurate mapping either. So there's a lot of caveats and asterisks over all that, but we'll see what happens. That's the most current, next step. And I was speaking with Phil Doyle today, and he was still working with DEP on the dam permit and looking to address some of their comments and recommendations as well. So things are still being worked on, but you're not going to see any buildings going up anytime soon. They have a lot of work left to do.
Just out of curiosity, I can't remember her name, Anna, in the alternate. Transportation office.
Active transportation
active
unit.
Active transportation unit. Does she get a bite of the ASTA apple when these things come through? She's the one who's in charge of getting bike lanes and pedestrian stuff and all that. And she's got, three or four people working for her. So she's kind of like a counterforce to all this car stuff.
Right. Yeah, I can check with her if she has a role in that. I have a meeting with her on Friday as part of the State Bike Ped Board. One of the things I've been introducing there for possible legislation actually is like one of the things I'm doing here with our traffic impact study requirements or zoning regulations is trying to make there enough inclusions for safety impacts as well. So anytime you're doing a traffic impact statement or study or a level of service study analysis to determine how vehicle traffic might be affected, we should also be making sure that any recommendations to accommodate those are also being evaluated for their safety impact to other users of the roadway. And what other strategies or, you know, VMT reduction goals could we implement that would also perhaps create a better, safer environment for everybody, like narrowing lanes, adding additional sidewalks, putting in bus stops, things like that, that might facilitate safer speeds and more pedestrian traffic. So I'm trying to suggest through the state process that ASTA be given that same requirement, that they also look at safety impacts and not just vehicle throughput, because it's not clear that they actually do that from what I've seen, but my perspective is limited with that, you know, consideration. Anyway.
Neil, in your view, where do you think this project stands at this point in terms of building things?
Well, like I said, I don't expect to see anything built anytime soon. They're working on the permitting and the cleanup. I don't really have a timeline either.
But there, you definitely wouldn't categorize it as being stalled.
No. Unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff that has to go on. I don't have any real ability to project anything at this point.
So just behind the scenes, paper pushing and whatnot to get to a place where they can begin the. I guess what once all that stuff's done, what would be like the order? Like then they go and do the cleanup first.
Once we get the updated remedial action plan, then we would pursue cleanup funds and then actually get the cleanup work done. Now, at any point in time, if a massive amount of money was somehow introduced, like i.e. a private sector developer coming and saying, I want to buy the property for $4 million, or I want to you be my partner, you know, Tilney family, and I'll, you know, but I don't know if any of that's going on. I'm not involved in that. But right now, the town's working to try to supplement lack of investment capital through these processes by going working cooperatively with the owner to get cleanup money, cleanup studies that lead to cleanup funds, et cetera.
And you're thinking that if they had private capital, that would change this?
Well, I'm just, I'm not speaking for the owner, but they are doing an awful lot with you know, limited resources. It's not a scenario where you have like your stereotypical, you know, large-scale development firm that would come in and say, here's our staff, here's our professional teams, here's, you know, they're doing what they can with the resources they have. I mean, they are the quote-unquote official developer, but, you know, this isn't their main thing that they do.
But they're waiting for approvals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing. Right now, my perception is it's all with the state. You know, they can't really move on remediation. They can't move on the dam safety stuff, and they can't they need that ASTA permit too in order to run. So even if they had all the money that they needed in order to do it right now, they really can't move forward until they have those permits, right? Is that
the DEP permit is critical to have that resolved, and again the brownfield stuff, which part of that's on us because we have to execute the final paperwork. That's not my office, but that's a bureaucratic process as well. And everything takes time.
I wonder, and I spoke to Lisa about this way back, if the Tilneys were willing to bring in a developer partner with a checkbook, whether a lot of this would accelerate.
Not really. And they've tried doing that before. Their father tried many, many times to do that.
I would imagine a developer, even with deep pockets, is still going to want to go after some free money that might be up for grabs, too.
It would, but it's in order for them to ramp, to to ramp up at this point. I mean, they have so much getting up to speed to do, and then the constraints of the property. I mean, Lisa early on said, you know, I evaluate projects like this all the time. And if this project came across my desk, wouldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't do it. I mean, it's, you know, the family's name is on it. They have attachment to it. There's all sorts of reasons. I mean, this thing has been looked over, applied, all kinds of stuff for decades.
Yeah.
Decades. And there are people with huge pockets who are looking to get into this thing, and they just, after looking at it carefully, they had to walk away.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think, and if they had big, deep pockets, most likely they would go somewhere else.
That's right. That's right.
You know, flat land that's not, you know, that's near a highway and doesn't have water right there. And, you know, it's like, you know.
The water that flows through that is
astounding.
I don't even know how they would even think about repairing and making everything just right after years and years of nothing.
Yeah.
It's a very complex property.
Yeah. And narrow and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I hope there are children involved that can take this over.
Let there be children.
Well, as long as there's continued progress and a feeling like it's not just completely stalled, I think that's probably the best we can hope for at this point.
Agreed.
All right, shifting gears to number two, some unfortunate news on the bike trail.
Yeah, if you saw the governor's announcement of the Community Connectivity Grant Awards, we did not get listed in that list. And it's unfortunate, but we've also haven't completed the work under our current Community Connectivity Grant, so that could be a part of it. But in the meantime, you know, that gives us more time. We're still working with the design professional on 27 Lawton Road, which is the piece in front of the church. Met with him out in the field 2 weeks ago. We took some measurements, debating whether or not we have to move telephone poles, which is very expensive, and we may need to work with the developer at AR Building to adjust their portion of the trail that would connect to the portion of the trail being designed here. I need to put a little jig in it based on the field walk. But either way, we have that progress going, and then if we get those things in and built, we'll just look that much better for the next one, and maybe the bike pump park will be farther along and actually in construction with the next round, hopefully. So I let Jan know from Ben and Norm and Mick from the England Mountain Bike Association, and they were disappointed but not discouraged, so we'll try again next round and see what happens. With the other aspect of this, with the corridor study, it's kind of like duplicating that with the SS4A, our Complete Streets Master Plan, Safe Streets for All grant. My understanding is that'll be on the December 5th Public Safety Committee agenda, and we'll be trying to kick that off through that committee in the coming months.
Okay. Anybody have any other comments on, did you mention anything on the extension into the shops?
Not a lot of progress on that. Basically, the shops were actually creating a graphic to send out to their tenants who were having questions about the easement, and that's really the only communication that happened over the last month with that.
Okay.
So that's unfortunately one that feels like it's stalled. It took so long to get all the paperwork together for us to get our easement language and this and that. Now, just waiting for it to go through the tenants is just excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any role we can play in giving it a nudge?
Not really. No. It's really out of our hands. I think what will happen is by the time it gets back in our hands, my fear is that there will be a list of things we have to do to accommodate their tenants, and that might change our design target, which might change our design budget, which means we might have to go back to the state for more money or come up with other things. But that, I'm just... this is what happens. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm more of a paranoid individual than a planner these days, but that paranoia seems to be well-founded sometimes. So that's my fear. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But it's not. I would not be surprised if we have to, you know, have another problem once we're done with that. It's very complicated getting the easement done.
Yeah.
That took a long time.
Yeah.
And it's still not done.
Okay. The community outreach, that's really the community survey. I mean, you've all seen a version of the final presentation. I've just never been happy with it. So I've been trying to, I want to put together another version. It's really just kind of the tying it all together and next steps and what do we do with the data that I struggle with. But because of the facade improvement program, I've put that off to the side. But hopefully next month I'll come out or come back with a new version of the survey that hopefully we can get in front of the Board of Selectmen and release it to the community at large so they can see the results. Because I thought the results were pretty good. Item four, business outreach, no update there. That was Russ with him stepping away. That's kind of in limbo. I was going to take that out. I was going to take that over unless someone else on the EDA has an interest in running with that. I think it would be starting from scratch. I reached out to Russ, and I could try again to try to get the work that he's already put into the Google Forms to create the survey. I haven't had any luck in getting anything back. I don't think there's any bad intent there. I think he's just been busy, so I could try again. But
I would love to take it on, but I've got so many balls. Yep. Irons in the fire right now. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think it's a pressing need. It's obviously something we want to do in terms of getting out in front of businesses and seeing what challenges they're facing and how we can help. It could be a 2026 initiative, in which case I could run with it once.
Or we can ask every one of us to talk to businesses.
Yep.
Just go and just see if we can arrange to have a little chat.
Yep.
10, 15 minutes, maybe half an hour, just to talk about and just listen.
Yep, we could do that too.
It could be that simple.
Yep.
Not having a strong chamber of commerce anymore, hurts. Like, we used to have the local chamber of commerce would literally come at us with all of their issues and things we want to address. I know we kind of have the joint one, but it's just not the same. Like, we had direct, unfiltered input from the organized business community, which I think we miss.
We miss it a lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an initiative to try to separate out from the combined and come back to a Canton only, or am I imagining that?
I think there was an effort. I don't know if it apparently didn't work or anything before.
You have sort of a couple of pockets. So you have the shops is its own, is its own sort of entity, of merchants. So Liz is over there is just, she does a lot of this, and she talks to the tenants all the time.
Right.
And then we've got Kathy Taylor in Collinsville, who's doing the same thing. She actually has a merchants group there, and they meet pretty regularly. And then I don't know if Canton Village has the equivalent. It seems like the various owners there, have some connection, minus Bizzuto. Bizzuto doesn't participate in that, but definitely the Larsons are involved. I don't know where the new guys are not in town, so we'll see. But there's potential there for so we've got pockets. I think there's interest, but there's no one person or little entity that say, okay, let's go, let's do it.
Right.
We're going to do it like this.
Yep.
A lot of potential, though.
Yeah.
I think. We are not Avon.
Right.
We have very, very different objectives.
Yep.
Yeah.
But to your point, it would make having like one body representing the business
would be great.
It would make our lives a little bit easier in terms of getting feedback and having discussions. Number five, developer outreach. Any new developers that you've been able to poke? Anybody? Oh,
Okay.
Do we talk about some conversations we've had? Or?
I think that would be the development update at the end, I guess.
Facade improvement program. So I passed out a presentation slide.
Where did you get this logo from?
That's a good question. I grabbed it a while ago. I'm talking like over a year ago.
You don't have it?
Was it old?
Remember? I just emailed you the current one. This was a draft that got. I forgot why they had us take the Communitas off. It was something either we had to get it copyrighted or.
No, it was incorrect.
It was incorrect.
It was incorrect Latin.
Yeah.
Oh. So I think I must have grabbed it off something off of the website.
It was an early iteration.
With all those things developed from the marketing consultant.
It could have just been that. I might have lifted it.
Yeah.
Interesting. You did send me
a new.
Okay, all right, I'll pop it in there.
but I saw that thing. Oh, wow, that's the original.
Isn't this from the New Hartford Brewery?
No, actually it's not.
Legitimus?
That's where it originated from, the New Hartford Brewery.
Yeah. Speaking of breweries, I went to Kinsman Brewery in Plants in Milldale.
Yeah.
A very interesting spot.
My brother-in-law loves that place. Yeah.
Yeah, have you been?
No, but he's a driver of CT Beer Tours, and he says that's one of their top spots.
It's a beautifully redone factory.
Yeah.
Factory building, one story.
Where is
brick.
It?
It's in Milldale.
It's like Southington.
Yeah, so it's right where Gulf Shrimp, the same road as Gulf Shrimp. Just keep going a little bit further towards.
Almost like the Aqua Turk is in Milldale.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely worth a look.
Barry, for your benefit, last month we went through a draft version. Or a version one of this presentation. Okay. The idea being we want to get in front of the Board of Selectmen, if possible, at their December meeting to get, hopefully, buy-in to this program. And the reason we need them to buy into this program is because the funding source, rather than going after town funds, to give to commercial business owners to make their properties look better, our plan is to go out and get grant money so that we're not dipping into the town coffers. And the grant, the STEEP grant, I believe those applications need to be in February of 2026. So we're kind of, and it's only one per year. So if you miss February, then you gotta wait a whole other year. So that's why this has kind of been priority number one.
Mm-hmm.
So I went.
Two meetings left.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So last week I went through a version of this, got some feedback, and then I also kind of prettied it up to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So that I think this version here, from my perspective, is ready to go in front of the Board of Selectmen. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to get additional feedback, thoughts, and ideas. So I think we all know what this is. And ultimately, we're looking to, you drive down 44, and there are a bunch of buildings that, have seen better days. And the idea would be, let's see if we can have a partnership with those owners where we would match up to $25,000 in grant money to their facade improvement plan to make give their property a facelift, and ultimately the idea would be you get a better looking building, maybe it keeps the existing tenants, maybe it attracts additional businesses, it increases the property value, which increases the grand list, more revenue going into the town. And it just makes the whole corridor look that much more appealing. And with thousands of people driving down the corridor every day, you might get a developer to come in and be like, "Huh, I never noticed that building before because it looks different." And it might just spur economic activity.
How much is it?
Our match.
Yeah.
So again, these are still loose numbers. Our idea would be we would match 50% up to $25,000.
And they have to match that.
They have to match that.
They have to match.
They have to. Yep.
if they want to contribute, if they want to contribute 75, that's great. But we would cap that cap ours at 25 initially anyway. Maybe if we're really lucky and we can get a lot of grant money, that number can change. But right. I think to start with, that makes sense.
Is there an amount of state money you're requesting?
We haven't gone after that yet. I was reading something. It's funny. I was reading something before last meeting about the deadline and the amount of money that's at play. And I thought the deadline was February something, and I thought the money at play was $30 million for 2026.
And that would be spread across the state.
Yeah, exactly. And then I went to go find it today, and I couldn't find it. And now I'm wondering, was I looking at last year's information?
I don't know. Let's find
that. Looking for a lot?
The more, the better. I honestly don't. I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know how to go about it. I don't know. Are you better off with these grant applications to shoot for the moon? Are you to be more realistic?
The one we saw, which was very impressive from, I guess it wasn't Middletown.
Weathersfield. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much did they go after?
They actually have that slide here. Bear with me. So theirs has been going on for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I think when they started, it started out small. Bear with me.
It did, and it grew, I remember.
So they've been through, since 2005, they've been doing this. And it looks like total funding sources have been $1.4 million.
Over that period?
I believe it's over the entire period.
From STEEP?
No. All together. From STEEP, it's $783,000.
Okay. So
and that's over three. That's 3 years they've grabbed STEEP money. So I guess that would be, quick math, 275.
Yeah. Per
ish.
Year. Yeah.
So maybe we ask for three.
What I'm trying to figure out is, are you asking for $1 million over 3 years? Are you asking for?
The way STEEP goes, you get it's for that 1 year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a one-time deal.
And then how does it, if you don't use all the money, Neil, what happens? Any idea?
I don't know. I think they
come after you.
I'm not sure.
Try to claw it back?
No, they come after you.
Oh, with Vinny?
I'm looking at the 2025 awards, and they were issued in May of 2025. And they're from all the way from like $100,000 up to $1 million is the max. But every single one that's on this list actually says this will be matched by X number of dollars by the town. So every single one of them. So I don't recall there being a local match for STEEP funds.
They change the rules from time to time. What's the percentage on the match? 50-50 or 20-80?
I think they want the town to put some skin in the game.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So what I read before last meeting, I saw that. What I read was it's not necessary that the town matches, but it's kind of encouraged.
If you don't do it,
you're not getting anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The total a municipality can receive is $1 million.
I think they encourage the town to put up 20%, if I'm not mistaken.
I think 20 is the minimum. Yeah. But they come up with
20% match is preferred but not required.
Yeah.
By the town.
Yeah. But we're basically saying in our argument, we're looking to create a program that does a one-for-one match with private dollars. Like that would be our argument is we're looking to have the STEEP money go into a program that will have a 50% match by private sector dollars is how we'd want to write that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So maybe that'll help a little bit.
Right. I mean, we're not looking to just simply get $1 million to put in a playground.
Right.
You know, we're looking to actually get private sector investments into brick and mortar, which also facilitates additional economic activity, grantless growth, et cetera. So that would be how we'd want to write it up to demonstrate we're not just,
it's not a one-time deal.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing program to stimulate economic development.
Right, and it's none of the money gets spent unless somebody's willing to do the local match,
right,
which protects them. So there's a way to kind of sell this and make sure we're, even though it's not required, we can probably hit the preferential category with writing it up properly.
Right.
If you want, I can bring in that guy, Carl Rosa, and see if he wants to weigh in, tell us you know, what other communities have applied for and which ones got it, which ones didn't.
Yeah. Any feedback from him would be great.
Yeah.
Say, Matt, tell me if this doesn't belong in this part and we'll stop doing it.
Yeah.
It strikes me that EDA gets no money from the town. Is that a correct statement?
We got like $1,000 last year.
We got a pittance.
Yeah, we got
as I was saying, EDA gets no money from the town.
At one point, we're getting over $80,000.
Really?
$1,000 is not nothing.
We were doing the,
but it's pretty damn close.
Okay.
Again, the website build and everything, we were getting a lot of money.
And it's been diminishing since then.
Yeah. We're at the bottom of that curve.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I guess my question to you, we're EDA. And in theory, we're about economic development. And it's very interesting to be about economic development and have zero funding.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, it is ironic.
It would strike me that as part of this, or before this, or whatever, does somebody like in Oliver ever go with their bowl to the Board of Selectmen and say, we're your EDA. We get nothing, absolutely nothing. How do you want us to try to facilitate economic development with nothing? Because what strikes me, I remember us having conversations about trying to raise the money to put stamps on a mailer. If my memory is correct, I remember sitting here talking about wanting to mail something out, going, well, wait a minute, we would need $218.
I think we asked for like 10 and got like 4 or something.
Yeah.
10,000 got 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, would we ever try to have a base level chat with these people saying, where are your EDA? I think before we go any further, you need to figure out how much it's worth to the town.
Right.
To have us trying to do all this, because to do it all with no money is silly.
Yeah.
No?
Right.
I mean, this presentation could be the opportunity to kind of open that dialogue, because we could say, listen, we're going to, our intent was to not dip into town funds to have this thing run independently on grants, but that may not work. And we may be coming back to you in a year saying, listen, if we want to revitalize one of our most important corridors, that's 44, the town's gonna have to step up with some seed money to make it happen. And then, you know, we could certainly put together, you know, some sort of pro forma to prove out that money would not be.
But
you know,
even more basic than that program, any program we wanna do, if you wanna do a survey.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes $500 to do them. Really? Yeah. We don't have $500?
We did this year put in for money to get a wayfinding signage program shovel ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the dollar amount was 24?
I believe so.
24. Yeah. So we do have, is there any whisper in terms of like this?
How much
there,
was
no
it?
Chance
December 1st, 24. I got my first budget meeting after submitting it. So.
Matt, how much was it?
$24,000.
Yeah.
So for this. But, for 2026.
Just so you know, in terms of the budgeting process, you know, we funnel things through Neil. Neil puts them onto the docket, and you know, and submits it as part of his package for planning and community development. Then the CAO looks over all that stuff, reviews it with Neil, and then in all likelihood, you know, takes a whack at it, and then prepares a proposed budget to the Board of Selectmen. They go through and they take a whack at it. And we can come when they have hearings, and we can talk to them and all that. And then they submit all that to the Board of Finance, and they take their whacks at it. In my experience, having sat on the Board of Selectmen, it's very good to talk to some members of the board one-on-one, one-on-two maybe, and just explain a little bit, get them on board. Because when you come to these guys with an alms bowl or an Oliver bowl or whatever you want to call it, you know, in the middle of a meeting,
yep.
Unless this thing is like, you know, you know, give us $5 and we'll give you $5,000 back. You know, you're not going to get very far. It just doesn't work that way.
But, first of all, I agree with it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
There needs to be some ground paved in anticipation of it.
Sure.
But I guess, does anybody say we're supposedly the economic development arm of the town? We're it. Is it worth $100,000 to have this effort?
Oh, sure it is. Sure.
I mean, you tell me, is it what's it worth, and how much of a budget can we have to present to you? But it really can't be that we want to send out a survey and we need $318.
Right.
Needs to be a little more than that. Yeah. Needs to have a little bit larger view. I mean, they get it. They really do get it. But, you know, they're also like, you know, the fire department comes in and says, we need a brand new truck. It's going to cost $700,000. You know, the police need an extra officer. You know, there's something else going on with a PFAS site up at Cherry Brook. I mean, basically, everything is good. You know, everything is worthy. You know, and it's like, what do we get? Every department is asked to submit their requests.
Yep.
And for as long as I can remember, the department heads submit upwards of $4 million in requests. But the discretionary amount in the budget right now is less than $1 million. You know, so, you know, you've got a 1 in 4 chance of even getting on.
Well, but maybe that may be the issue. Maybe they need to decide. Here, we started this conversation before I went away, and tell me if you don't want to have it. You don't want to, we won't. I understand that the goal is to keep our taxes zero flat going forward. I get that. And I know the goal is we don't want multifamily development in this town. We don't want it. We don't like it. We like stone fences. We like open land, big houses. But somewhere, you know, I bet you downstate in towns like Greenwich, they must have had this conversation saying, look, if you want the town the way you want it, and you don't want new multifamily development, and you want open spaces and big houses, well, is it okay with you if our taxes do go up by 6%, 5%, 7%, as opposed to 1% or 2%? Because it seems to me that you can't have it all. You can't say no development, no buildings, no increase in the grant list. And we want our budget to be a 1% or 2% per year growth budget. Good idea, but it doesn't work.
No.
I wonder, have you ever, Neil, do you know in towns like Stamford or Greenwich or these Westport, in these towns, what kind of budget increases they see?
No, I don't know those numbers off the top of my head. No.
We could get them from CCM.
Because I wonder, if you say, look, you like the town the way it is, great. So do I. I live in a big house, 2 people. I like it. And if you want to raise my taxes by $1,000, go right ahead. Maybe that's what our inmates want. Maybe they're not that sensitive.
Yeah, but I think we've gone over this many times. You know, what they say they want and what they really want are 2 different things. You know, let's face it, if they want country, they got country galore in Canton.
Yeah.
You know, North
we
Canton.
We like it.
North Canton is not Route 44. And Canton Center is not Route 44. There's a ton of it. But all these folks who've got their stone fences and yada yada, they sure do like getting down to ShopRite, and they sure do like getting down to CVS, and they sure do enjoy Mercado, and they sure like all of these things that they got their, you know, 5-minute drive away. It's like, boom, there you are. You got pretty much anything you want, and then you can go back up the hill or wherever, and you're in this bucolic setting. So, you know, the POCD, and that's really where this discussion needs to be had, plan of conservation and development, you know, for years and years and years, decades, you know, we have said, you know, that process comes to the same conclusion, which is we give up substantial portions of Route 44 to intense commercial development and leave the rest in Collinsville and Canton Village and leave the rest of the darn thing alone. That's what it's been, you know, and frankly, from everything I'm seeing, it really, there's not much appetite to change it, because to change that design. You know, people recognize, you know, North Jersey is a prime example. Practically all of North Jersey is, you know, we don't want development, we don't want mobile stations, we don't want subways, whatever, or Jersey Mike's. You know, and their taxes are through the roof because they've got no commercial development, virtually none. You know, and those folks decide that's what they're going to do, and if they don't like it, they leave.
See, and I wonder in downstate, in these fancy towns,
same thing,
with big mansions, do they manage to a higher level of tax growth because they like their town the way it is?
No. In Stamford is growing, you know, growing commercial stuff by leaps and bounds. Greenwich, a little different. I mean, you really have to. We can go and chat with those folks, but they've got the NIMBYs and caves, just like we do. Really, I mean, you say the word apartment almost any town in the state to townsfolk, and they'll go, oh, apartments. You know, they're all saying it. But they're getting a ton of data, ton of messaging to say there is, you know, if we continue to build the single family houses and all that stuff, that sprawl is economically not viable. It just doesn't work. Infrastructure-wise, it's a disaster because you're trying to replicate, you know, everybody wants the urban services along with the bucolic setting. To replicate the urban services in terms of infrastructure is hugely expensive. Huge, because all these guys are spread out all over the place, up and down hills and everything else. It's not a good model. It doesn't work. And they know it down there too. So the town planners and the folks who are actually looking at the numbers and saying, look, you know, you don't want 15% increases in your taxes. You don't want 7%, you know. But you do want services.
Well, then, it seems to me that if we want services and we want this and we want that, and we don't want high increases in our taxes, then sooner or later, this agency has to go to work and work to cause economic development, which it isn't. And you can't do that with a zero budget. They need to say, hey, look, I mean, we need to get $100,000. We need to have even on our staff, perhaps a full-time development person. But you need something to get us going where we don't need to worry about postage on a mailer.
Right.
Okay, so next August, then EDA should have a special meeting or part of its regular meeting specifically focusing on a meaningful budget request to kind of bring that out. But that's hasn't occurred for this mission, so we kind of have to deal with what we have now. But I think it makes perfect sense to put together as part of our strategy, if we're going to go after that type of presence of an EDA that actually can provide that type of meaningful, you know, change that you're talking about, then you need to be prepared for an aggressive budget request and be able to defend it. Now, in the meantime, we have our current budget request. And I would suggest you do what Bob recommended and reach out to your elected officials, be in their ear, show up at the meetings. The people that want a pickleball court, meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, they are there. They're letting the Board of Selectmen know that this is what we want to do and this is what we need and this is going to make our community better. Nobody's doing that with economic development
that often, right.
The budget process, right?
Exactly.
Nothing against anybody who's, you know, already helping, but, like, you know, there's a whole other level to get to. So maybe let's try to do that with our wayfinding sign and see what happens. And I think this initiative Matt's working on is the next best thing. You know, we will hopefully be in front of the Board of Selectmen in the next 2 months pitching this, and either they're going to use their one STEEP application to support this, or they're not. And if they don't, then you know you have some a bigger rock and a steeper hill, right? If they do, we got our foot in the door, and we're gonna. This is something that will result in a meaningful difference if we can get it up and running. That leads to a lot of things. So, I mean, those are your strategies.
We shouldn't be afraid to go up. You take that application right there.
Yep.
We shouldn't be afraid to say to them, in order to get to facilitate this, the town needs to commit to a 20% contribution. And that's going to cost you 20 grand next year or whatever it is. We shouldn't hide from that, which I think we do. We keep looking for ways to hide from asking them for money.
Historically, that is I would not argue the way you're characterizing that, because, I mean, I've been trained by going to the Board of Selectmen year after year after year with grant applications where I think, you know, you give me 20 cents, I'm going to give you a dollar. I think that I would take that all day long. What investor wouldn't?
Yep.
I've been chastised by earlier version of the Board of Selectmen for coming in with a grant with such a high match. And what are you thinking? What would you suggest we spend taxpayer money, you know, $20,000 to get $100,000? You know, I'm paraphrasing, summarizing. But
we've had that. I remember
it. So I've been trained that way over the years to avoid a match. And so Matt's artfully trying to write this in a way that gets us that path of least resistance. So we get to the finish line with a yes. I mean, number one thing in sales, how do you get a yes? Even if it's not the yes you want, you start with getting a yes, and then you go from there.
Yeah, but you want 60% of something or 100% of nothing.
But I still, you tell me, and if it isn't the way you want to go, then it isn't. Most things I suggest is not the way you want to go. I won't be offended. But I think that whether it's in next June or whatever it is, we ought to make our presentation and say, look, if you really want economic development, and that's what you want, we need a budget of 100 grand.
Right.
And here's why. We need, number one, a full-time staff person that works for us to go around and do all this and do all that.
But I think, you know, Neil's already articulated how we go about building that proposal, you know, figuring out what the actual costs are, what the case is, what is the business, the economic case for doing it, and what our sales pitch is really going to be. So, and he's saying that this year we got what we got, and next and we get around to next year, August is the time that we need to put our heads together and be thinking about, okay, what is 27, 28 going to look like, and what are we going to be asking for, and why, and you know, what's going to be worth it for us to pound the table and say, this is what the town needs. I don't think anybody sitting in this room is afraid of doing that.
Yeah.
But we got to have our ducks in a row.
Yep. And right. we're for this year, we're already past that stage.
I do want to just pull it back to the last year's STEEP application. Out of the list of eligible projects, the first project example they give is economic development projects such as A, constructing or rehabilitating commercial industrial mixed-use structures, and B, constructing, reconstructing, repairing roads, accessways, and other site improvements. So the first one is, those are two examples of economic development projects. So it's telling us last year, at least, it was okay to apply and put this into upgrading commercial properties. So that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully that's the case for this round. So yeah. And development projects involving economic and community development, you know, those are all good things. Promoting economic growth, particularly in transit-oriented areas, that's, we can argue that one, but those are all good signs.
I feel good about it. I feel, yeah. I can't, it sounds like we're going up against, there's another entity that wants a STEEP grant for 2026. So it, right, so at least one. So we're going up against other.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah,
competing.
But
yeah, you mentioned it.
I guess my point is, I'd be hard pressed to find one that could have the potential impact that this one could have on the town.
Well, we believe in it. We believe in this project, and we've got it thought out. You know, worked out. Let's go.
Yeah. So I mean, I was reading through this while we're talking. think you made a lot of good improvements. I think it makes sense. I think my only comment would be to maybe add some flexibility where you put a dollar amount, of, you know, say, depending on maximum award, like for the dollar amount. Because, like, as the direction Barry was going into is, you know, if we're somehow, we, like, maybe we ask for $300,000 and we're going to try to ask for that every year moving forward to a certain extent if we can get some traction. Like, we get 10 businesses, right, where that's $30,000 each. Well, why wouldn't we want to award 30,000 instead of 25? Like, we want to have a little bit of flexibility in there. If we only had 5 applicants for a year, we want to maybe award $50,000. You know, $25,000 isn't a lot anymore.
It's not a lot. So I'm wondering, how do you, because the idea would be, yeah, that's what it is now, but maybe next year, the program's successful, we're able to get more money, that number could go up.
Right. I mean, we would establish a maximum range, you know, would be, and then that way, if we're within that range, you know, we're okay.
Yeah.
Matt, who goes around to solicit businesses to participate?
We will.
Yeah.
We would have
promote
to do it.
We will do it.
If we don't do it, they won't. They will not participate. Right. I can tell you right now.
I mean, does somebody knock on the door and go?
You got to knock on
the door. We're going to knock on the door. We can have a fact sheet that we could leave behind, and we'll have a conversation.
We'll create a survey that shortlists the ugliest establishments in town.
Yeah.
By the way, we're the EDA. We think your facade sucks.
So it has to be done a certain way that's not offensive.
According to Weathersfield, they got the most success was from properties that turned over ownership.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what that's your initial screen. Do you get someone to buy a property? Boom.
Yeah. Which, I don't think we've got like a, meet your new neighbor. What is it? The,
what do you call this? Where the new entity comes into town, it's like a meet and greet. Like,
yeah.
We don't do that. I remember at one town having like an ombudsman that did that for a new business comes to town, and they would facilitate one of those meet and greet meetings.
Yeah, and that's something that that the chamber would do.
Yeah,
they would arrange to do something like that, not necessarily with a newbie, but.
I have an interesting case for you. So we're Dogology. That complex.
Yeah, yeah.
So our plan says that it needs to be visible from the street.
Right.
Is that visible from the street? I'm just, all along, I've been trying to come up with scenarios where, wow, what would we do there? Another one was, I meant to Sunil, was what if it's one of those like painted houses near the intersection of Dowd and 44 where there's residential on top? Because we say no residential, but that's kind of a mix.
Right.
And of course, we would want that to be.
Yeah.
So we need to.
Well, there's another thing. When you talk about Dogology being way at the back of that complex, it very nearly fronts onto the bike trail, which is a. And we're not thinking about bike trail frontage, which in warmer climates is an economic driver. I mean, that's one of the things that down in Texas and
Stowe, Vermont, Cape Cod, Stowe in particular, really
yeah,
does a good
I mean,
job.
If they can do it in Stowe, I mean, we sure as hell can do it here.
The prior owner of that worked for years to try to get the trail, but they have some wetlands issues that are really tough. But like the owner of Dish and Dat, I begged them to consider putting like an outdoor patio that looks out on the trail. Like we go up to Cape Cod and we drive the trail, and there's a restaurant that's on it. We're like, we're going there.
Yeah, they even have some of them even have like a little trail and a menu and a sign.
Absolutely, to come right in.
That's
I want to check it out.
Well, that's what that Kinsman has.
Yeah,
they have that. So sometimes I've been in those sales situations where you've got like folks who are just saying no, and then down the street their competitor does it. They're right in.
This is one of those things too. You got to get that first business to do the facade improvement, and then it goes like dominoes. Like one person sees it and like, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
But EDA members are supposed to go around and go your businesses.
Yeah. We can do that.
We'll figure that out, but it's going to...
Let's put it, yeah. I mean, we've had these programs, you know, various programs like the marketing website and stuff, which require, you know, which really encourage businesses to, you know, do this, you know, publicize beyond themselves and it wouldn't cost them anything. You wouldn't believe how difficult it was to get these businesses to take up this free service that would benefit them.
Yeah.
They were just, I'm a mom and pop, I don't have the time, I don't have the expertise, I, you know, every excuse in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do it, and the thing died. You know, we actually had to, we had people going around and drumming up stories, drumming up posts and stuff, and then they would, and then the businesses would pull the rug out from under them. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we don't want to, you know, it's not quite right. We want to, it was really something.
Yeah.
It was really, it was counterintuitive for sure. But this, I think we could do it. And I think the turnover thing is a real good, is a really good point.
Yeah.
When the property turns over, say, hey, you know, we can even present it as we got a basket of benefits to you. If you want to do this,
we could even have like a fact sheet of the program for commercial real estate agents. that might make the deal a lot easier. Helpful.
Right, they can say, hey, you buy this building and you're eligible for, you know, $30,000 grant from the town to update the facade.
Because none of them are repping just one town. You know, they're they're repping properties all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay.
But any feedback?
One comment.
Yep.
Town manager. We do not have a town manager. And we have a CAO. Oh,
that's what I meant. What slide you on?
Well, it's peppered throughout here. Just look for town manager and replace
just
with
CAO.
And the reason I'm picky about that is that it's a town manager is a different form of town government.
Slide 13.
Yeah. 13, 16... 15.
One question I had, and I think was a takeaway from last meeting, was
19.
Well, one, do we think the CAO would be able to approve these applications, or does it need to be Board of Selectmen?
Slide 19.
That was one. And then the second was
the CAO should be able to is by charter can is one able to issue contracts. So
But he has a limit, a dollar limit to how much he can approve without approval of the selection.
Yeah.
So he may want to have that probably is over there.
And I think it's fine to go in front of the Board of Selectmen and still have some outstanding.
Oh, sure.
Item. And because obviously we want their feedback too.
Right.
I think the point is to hopefully get them on board and then.
Well, you want to get the CAO to vet this because he's going to say, okay, so if this thing goes through, we approve this, I've got to do this, 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 and this, and get his, you know, his understanding of the process, you know, and how does that square with our form of government and all that. So that's helpful. The other thing that you need is to have at least one person on the current board as a champion. Someone who has seen this thing, really likes it, will speak in favor of it when it comes up at the Board of Selectmen. That's really helpful. If you can get two, that's even better. And we should be able to do that.
Yeah.
We should be able to. We don't want to surprise the board, any of these boards. We should have plenty of time to, somebody should be up to speed on that stuff before it hits their inbox.
Okay.
So it says here the CAO shall not contract to expend any money or incur any liability in excess of the amount appropriated for a department or agency during any budget year. The without the approval of the Board of Selectmen. So if my department through the, or the EDA through my department is the one that says, hey, we're issuing contracts for these, you know, and it's going to be less than the, it'll be the amount that's basically appropriated by the Board of Selectmen by authorizing the pro. I think what we got to do is facilitate so the Board of Selectmen authorizes the program, and then the CAO is the one able to administer it within those limits. And then if we right. need to change the limits of the program, you got to go back to the Board of Selectmen.
But I would ask them. I would ask the CAO if there's something that we're not seeing in terms of approvals. Yeah. Since each one, if say we get four of these applications in,
right,
and we have enough money to fund two of them. Do we have a selection process, you know, an evaluation process? Do we is each one of these awards does that involve a separate contract between the town and the entity receiving? Yep. In which case, that could change what you said. It that contract may need to be presented to the Board of Selectmen and approved there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can talk about the board, but I think, you know, my preference would be to have, if we're able to go forward and get the grant, we put policies together, the board endorses the policies, and the CAO is free to work within those policies with us.
Yeah.
And that keeps things moving. You know, you don't want to have too much bureaucracy, but then if the policy gets exceeded, then we got to go back to the Board of Selectmen.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, I'm just generally trying to plan it out.
Yep. Yeah, just to see where that review occurs.
Yep. Is BOS normally B capital O S or is it B lowercase O S?
It's BOS all caps.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's 19.
Yep, I'm on it.
Okay.
I know these.
But I mean, I think this is a good pitch deck.
Yeah.
Think there's anything that's missing? I mean, I know there's still some details to be hashed out, but.
No, it looks good.
I think it's the.
I think this is as good as you guys get at this stage.
Yeah.
I mean, more will definitely come up after it's presented.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think for now we got to move because things are going to get busy. Like, so, like, my budget meeting is first week of December with the CEO. So then within a couple of weeks, we're going to be seeing. I mean, he's ahead a month from what the former CEO used to do. So we used to have this first week in January. But then usually it's mid-January you start having all this stuff. Like, the budget starts consuming January, February with the Board of Selectmen. So, you know, we got to really think about. Do we want to try to get on like a late December agenda right before the holidays, or do we want to try to get, you know, first or second meeting in January? Because, I mean, we have to have time for this all to be written up for submission in February, assuming that's the submission date.
Yeah.
So we're really crunching it right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think at some point, like between now and the next meeting, we should probably be thinking about submitting a agenda request form to the CAO to be on one of those next four select meetings in December or January.
My bias would be December, just so that there's more room on the other end of it to get the application ready if we get the green light.
Okay. So, I mean, does the EDA want to maybe just endorse that now, and then we'll work between now and the next meeting to get that form in and get you on one of those agendas?
Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's move this forward.
Yeah, because the budget cycle is going to land us too late and make it too late.
And you know what? We want to be in their ear. We don't know what else might be submitted from other departments and stuff.
And let's face it, if we get the grant, I doubt they're going to say no.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The other thing that I we don't have to go over it in the interest of time, but I quickly put together a scoring rubric. Yeah. So the way the process would work is that preferably the applicant would meet with Neil first to kind of get a lay of the land in terms of how the program works from like a flow perspective and then design ideas, so on and so forth. They would submit an application. The EDA's role would be to review
the applications and then either recommend it to go forward to the CAO for approval or not. And this is just kind of one idea about how to go about and kind of grade out the applications, particularly in the, you know, if we were to get multiple at once. So it's just a whole bunch of different categories. There are points depending on what I thought was more relevant versus not. And then just a very loose example of taking an application through. So the idea would be there's 100 points available. You need to get, you know, 75 points in order for it to be approved. And then this could be used as a relative score so you can compare it against other applications. So if we're down to only, you know, $25,000 left in our steep pool and we only have one more to go, then this might help us.
Sure.
Make that decision. So just, you know, maybe at next meeting, just if you have any ideas to make changes to it, improve it, so on and so forth. But I thought this was, you know, something that I think could help us once we get to this point, hopefully.
And this, okay. This evaluation would be by Neil and the CAO?
I think by the EDA.
EDA.
Although, you know, the second line, this is important. And first line is very important, the degree of public-facing transformation. I love that. The second one, consistency with the village district's design code, that's very important. But I'm worried about the burdensomeness of the bureaucracy of that. So thinking this through, like, okay, you have a potential applicant wants to access our lending, but now we have to say, well, in order to get access to the lending, you have to demonstrate you're consistent with all these design criteria, which maybe requires an architect, et cetera. And then that's an expense where you're spending money to get this money, which is probably, I'm not even going to bother now.
Right.
But so I'm wondering if I have to try to set up a, you know, quick ability to quickly facilitate, you know, you don't have to demonstrate complete consistency until after you get the award. But we'll have a quick process to either you meet with me and if I can readily ascertain you're in the right direction, yes, or have a like subcommittee of the Planning and Zoning Commission that can readily meet specific to this task. Like when I had a separate planning commission, I had a subcommittee that was ready to go up to Sweetheart Mountain to do a, you know, field inspection at any time. Mm-hmm. And they all agreed to abide by, they'd be ready within, you know, 48 hours should I request their involvement. And we could do something like that with the design review for our applicants just to make sure we're not deterring participation in the process.
Right.
But sorry, my brain was just thinking myself.
No, it's good.
So if we'd have to figure that out. But
we all, then we also have, you know, if their actual application, you know, the zoning application, doesn't include, is not consistent with the, you know, the village district's stuff,
right.
Or they don't do it, we would need to do some kind of a clawback thing or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, it was like, yeah, thank you for the money, but now I'm going to do what I want.
And that's, I think Matt had that covered in the ineligible for something. He had that covered in the
final release of funds. Yeah, okay. It's on page 14.
Okay. But I agree. We those are the details, the devil's in the details type things. We'll have to work out if we're lucky enough to have those problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Exactly.
But I think it's manageable, though.
Mm-hmm.
Good. No, this is a very good rubric.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so as far as getting on the selectmen's calendar in December,
yep.
You want to just
we'll coordinate. Said, meaning I'll send you the agenda submission form that you would send to the CAO, and I'll help you fill it out.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Do you want to? Can you join if you're
sure.
available?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, great. All right, moving on. I don't think we have a lot left. Economic backdrop, I don't have anything for this meeting. The streetscape, Jen isn't here, so no updates there. WPCA is tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 7 p.m. First item on the agenda.
Good. Okay.
Conservation will be there as well.
Okay.
There won't be enough seats for everybody. You have to sit, you know, in the audience with conservation and planning is going to be the regular seats. But engineer from WPCA knows you'll all be there.
Okay.
And coming prepared to present to everybody.
And that's right across the hall?
Yep, we're met.
Good. Okay. Marketing, what was I going to mention there? I'm not expecting an update, but
we had the idea for doing like a, remember that map I showed you of Connecticut and it had like all the different things, something of like that for Canton. That's just an idea. I have no updates on that. Yeah. And I think the other thing we talked about was
that's a nice visual.
The make it Canton and trying to get back in, you know, something with the school or something like that. So not expecting an update, but I just wanted to make sure that those are still items that we're actively thinking about. Review of the minutes. Anyone have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The EDA schedule. So Tom Wagner had requested if we can move the meetings to Mondays for 2026. I'm okay with that as long as it doesn't create a problem for another member of the EDA.
So Lisa put checked for Lisa Ozaki. She put together a schedule for the 6:30 p.m. the first Monday of every month. She does have, I think it is this room available, and it's every first Monday with the exception of September 14th, which would have to be the second Monday of the month.
You're saying the first Monday of the month?
Yeah.
As opposed to the second Tuesday?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Right with you?
That's fine. I just
We need a motion for that?
Yeah.
So moved.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to the first Monday.
First Monday.
And the second, and then a roll.
Oh, I will second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And if Tom resigns from the EDA, I'll
this is one of the most important things we're going to do.
Start the month with a bang.
It is. It's true.
I to be honest with you, I always liked having it being the second. It could be whatever. I always like having it being the second just because I feel like when a calendar flips, it just gave me a little bit of room psychologically to kind of prepare.
Yeah.
It's true.
Whatever.
It's very true.
Okay. And then development updates.
I guess the only thing we report, Bob and I had the meeting with the new owners of the Bear portion of the Canton Village Shopping Center, and they presented some concepts to us that were kind of going in the direction of, you know, maintaining a national, you know, franchise model in the front, but they reworked it, taking the feedback from the last meeting, which I thought they had done a pretty good job trying to accommodate the comments I gave them within their constraints, and then they gave us some ideas for future master planning for the site that included a lot of mixed use concepts, which, you know, generally were, you know, pretty, you know, I thought they were pretty well received, although, you know, we have to, you know, see where it goes from here, you know.
Yeah.
Proof will be, you know, later on when they actually have something together that's solid enough to present publicly, and we did encourage them to kind of get in front of perhaps the planning and zoning informally with some of their earlier concepts before too much goes, you know, by and the rumor mill starts going and stuff, and they can actually get...
Rumor mill's already started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't get out a lot, so... Yeah. But I think that's trying to present it all in a way you understand what was discussed without getting into too much detail, because, you know...
It's not a public... It's, you know, they haven't presented their plan in public. They don't want it public. It's still in flux. So, and technically... doesn't have to be because they haven't presented it in public.
But I guess I'd say my reaction from meeting with them initially was things were not necessarily going the right direction. I would say the second meeting I left with the you know, level, things were going in a better direction.
Yeah.
And they walked out seeming, you know, happier as well than they were from the first meeting.
Yeah.
So.
You want to get them even happier and us even happier than
right.
They are.
Is there another next step or another meeting to share ideas?
We have one tentatively scheduled for Thursday, just as a placeholder. We don't know if it's actually going to happen or not.
Okay.
But we put a tentative meeting in for this Thursday at our meeting we had. So
yeah, we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah, they have not yet reached out to say, yeah, we're definitely coming or not.
Yeah. Looks like, you know, behind CVS, looks like it's full steam ahead. They've been moving dirt for a while.
Yep.
Any update on Bird Code?
No contact with them since the last meeting.
Okay.
Behind CVS, I see all the piles of dirt.
Yep.
But does anybody, have they said what they're doing?
Oh, yeah, that's 102 apartments, two four-story buildings.
With a pool,
with
right?
A pool.
Okay, so
yeah.
that is what they're building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They've applied for...
They got their... They're in the building permit process. The building official is... I don't think he's issued the permit yet. It's a huge review. We have a building official of one. You know, he's the plumbing inspector. He's the structural inspector. He's the electrical inspector. He's the everything inspector. And it's probably the biggest project we've had in a long time. His office is at overcapacity
like
at the moment.
Behind Pedals and Paws up on the hill, no?
Yeah.
That's one building. This is going to be two.
And then we have the building to go on 375 Albany Turnpike. That's the five attached townhouses. The lot's been cleared for that. The structure is actually currently under construction, but it's they have this a company that does prefabrication. Like it's all being built in the factory, and then
where is this?
This is between the two Dana Drives on the north side of Route 44.
Is it next to the 40-unit?
Yes.
Laurel, the Laurel?
Yeah, right next
to
that.
Yeah.
So those the construction process should be much quicker because most of the construction is actually happening right now outside of public view in a factory somewhere. But then the rest of the site work will have to occur, the foundation will have to go in, and then the parts come and get assembled. So it should be hopefully a lower impact on the neighborhood than the other construction process, which was... You know,
is this low income?
No, so I'll market rate.
What are they going to look like? Is anything like the Laurel?
No, it's going to be a lot different. I don't know if I could quickly pull up an example, but it's much smaller. I mean,
like individual, almost like row houses.
It's going to look like a townhouse, a row of five townhouses.
Okay.
So just five units.
Yep, and they're 5 one-bedroom units, which is how it works there. That's how we're able to get in because there's no water and sewer there. So according to health district,
they can't tap off the dead man and all that.
Nope, because when they brought up for the Laurels, they left it all the way on the western end of the property because the system doesn't incentivize them to pay to bring it farther up. And if they did say, hey, we're going to bring it farther up, they'd want to get a higher number of units on the site in order to pay. Offset that cost,
right,
and it just doesn't always work out.
So this is only 5 units.
Only 5 units, but when the lot started getting cleared, I think it caused a little bit of a stir.
It did. Social media went ablaze.
Yeah.
Those things tend to happen like that. So
right next to Laurel.
Yeah.
Right next to.
Well, literally across the street, across Dana Drive.
Yeah.
To the east. Yeah.
Okay.
And Lisa Coggins lives in that neighborhood.
I know. Has she said anything about it?
Not to me.
not directly to me. I think I've copied some emails about it.
Thank you.
Why am I having trouble finding that?
It's okay if you don't.
Okay.
Do you hear Shake Shack is coming into the shops?
No.
Yeah.
They
are. You know what Shake Shack is?
I've heard of it. But
yeah, they're down down at West Farms.
When you pull into the shops and you were to, if you were to go turn right to go to ShopRite.
Yep.
Right on that corner, it used to be a Sleep Number store.
Yeah,
yep.
That's where they're going. There. So right next to the, it's not Chipotle, is it? It's the other one.
I think it is Chipotle.
Chipotle, yeah.
What do they make? What do they serve?
Burgers and fries and shakes, but I think it's more, you know, kind of like a step up.
It's nice.
Yeah.
They've got a nice salad. They've got a nice salad place there. It's fresh.
The green?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, so like, those look nice.
Yeah.
Are they small?
Yeah.
One bed.
And they're apartments or actually purchase them?
I think they're going to be rentals. That's the backside.
Yeah.
You know, and we're making them make it look exactly like it did in this drawing. But there's not huge layouts or anything. They're one-bedroom units, but you know, we don't really have, you know, this is very small and able to be, hopefully, I don't know, we'll see what they want to run them at.
Well, they, is the topography, will they be towering over the road? Like the
no, world? they're going to be set back because of there was constraints in the development. They had to go to the commission to get a built-in line adjustment, and they're going to be pushed back farther from the road. Let me see if I can get this setting.
So they won't have that sort of that massing issue.
Yeah.
That's just when the Laurel first came in.
The location of where the front wall of the building is relative to the road.
Okay.
Like the road's all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
So that'll be a much different presentation.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Laurels got started, I mean, people were just in arms. They just were like, what the hell?
I think that land on Dowd, across from like the old IGA, so across.
Yeah.
I think that's for sale.
Purchased. Well, you're right. It is for sale. The carriers have it on the market. The carriers basically came and got their approval for the two duplexes there. And I believe I saw it on the market. And that doesn't mean they're not going to develop it, but they're probably, since they got it all approved, maybe they could, and I'm theorizing, they could get their money back without having to incur the construction, you know, burden. And someone else who didn't, you know, have to do all the permitting might be able to construct it more efficiently also.
Yeah.
So that is for sale. The other one, 3842 Dowd, that did sell. That was purchased by another portion of the carrier's family. And then 75 Old Canton Road, speaking to the project designer about that today, and, you know, the drawback on that still seems to be the Connecticut water policies.
Right? Hey.
I mean, that's just a shame, but I remember when Bob was first selectman, he tried to get them to change their ways and did not. And that still is the issue. It could cost too much to run the water the way the water company is saying to do it.
Right.
Unless we can get them to change their policy somehow, that could really hold that back for a while.
Yeah, I was talking with the president.
Yep.
No, they will not run a water main through a third party. It's got to be, you know, they connect that the party that's getting the water has to connect into their pipe directly, not over anybody else's property easement. Doesn't matter. They won't do it.
So
yeah,
could enact the legislation.
Yeah,
we need to do.
I drove by that the old auction barn the other day, man. It looks like it's about to crumble.
Yeah, there's a demolition permit pending for it.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's a safety issue now, which is a real shame. It's such a big part of the town's history and charm for decades, and now it's a hazard.
Yeah. So,
any other development
things? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. It is, I don't know what time it is.
Stop. You asked whether there's any other. There is.
Oh.
But, here's my question for you, when you can tell me yes or no.
No.
Probably. Sooner or later, somebody will. As you get the idea, you do, especially when you... I like tilting at projects that I work on that will never happen. Makes me happy. And I think there's no more to be done, really, with the Axe Factory. It's where it is. I think it is... It's in the hands of the gods. Here's the project that I would ask you whether I can tilt at. I like to write. I would like to draft a proposal for next year's budget requesting, laid out with reasoning and so on, requesting a big number for the EDA for funding for us to gear up, to bulk up and gear up, maybe even with a staff person to do these things and so on, but to basically say, look, we're your arm of economic development. Do you want it or you don't want it? If you want it, fund us. And I would like to take a shot at writing a proposal that says that to them for their budget meeting. Do I think it'll go anywhere? No. But it's right with me.
It's okay with
yeah.
me?
Yeah, go for it. You have 8 months.
What else do you want to layer into that position? You can't only have a person with one position in this town.
What's that?
You can't have an individual with only one position in this town.
Well, yes, you can.
Really?
Yes,
I got like 6 different titles or something. I forgot how many there are.
Yeah, we're collecting them.
I would tell you, if you're going to do that, one of the things I would say and try to include in that is, like Weathersfield did, they created a one position specifically for the administration of grants. Right? I can't tell you how much of this stuff we're talking about, the X Factory, is tied up with grants.
Right.
How much of my day or week I can't spend on the planning stuff or the permit review stuff, or maybe I'm spending the time on that and I'm not getting to the bureaucracy of the grants. It's a full-time job to manage everything.
Grants,
we got the money. It's a huge amount of paperwork. It's a huge amount of stuff you have to do. The stuff I had to do to get the SS4A grant just took, you know, dozens of hours. I'm supposed to be writing reports for it that I'm behind writing to get sure we maintain our standing. I have to do that for all the DEP grants that, you know, and stuff. And like having somebody who actually can collect the information, prepare them, give them, administer them, be the stick that whips to keep the progress going. Because a lot of the things we're talking about is a lack of progress. I only have so much time in a day to actually use a stick to whip. Hey, how come nothing happened? Well, I don't have time for that. You know, whatever.
Neil, in every organization that I've been involved in, whether it was the University of Hartford, the Jewish Federation, the Bushnell, and so on, we've all had a grant writer to write and manage the grant process. So I absolutely agree with you, but what I'm saying is that the EDA, if it really wants to do economic development, really shouldn't be in the position to be begging for hundreds of dollars.
No, I think we've gotten your point, you know, so yeah, write it up. Go for it.
Then I will.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
See, got it, yeah.
We'll go in.
Move to adjourn?
Yep, I will second that.
Okay.
8:05.